Welcome to the Wally Show Aftercast, those things we did not get to during the course of the show today, and thank you so much for being a potty. I don't know if we say that enough. We really do appreciate you guys. Like, you get the sense of humor of the show, and you choose to listen faithfully and share it with other people, so thank you very, very much for that. Here's something that I found today that I was excited about. Fast food has gotten so expensive. I will usually spend, for just my wife, Marty, and I, close to $18 for a meal at fast food now. Chick-fil-A is $10 for a value meal now. It's not a value. Well, don't even call that. Don't even say, keep the word value out of your mouth.
Just a meal.
Yeah, keep value out of your mouth, all of you fast food places, with the exception of McDonald's with their $1, $2, and $3 value menu. Like, that actually still counts. And Wendy's still will rock that $5 thing. But like, we'll go and she gets kid meals sometimes, and it's still like $17, $16, you know, cause a kid's meal now at a lot of places is almost $8. It's gone crazy. But McDonald's has been noticing that trend more of people eating at home cause it's cheaper and it's cutting into their sales. They made money last quarter, but not as much as they could have. And so, they are actually reevaluating their pricing strategy. The CEO, made an announcement cause they lost 4% on their stock the other day when the numbers came out that they weren't doing as good as they thought. They said, what you're going to see is more, attention to affordability. I think that it's about absolute price point, which is more important for that customer to get them into the restaurants than the value messaging. Because a lot of times, too, they were like, hey, we're doing these, you know, craft house burgers now and stuff like that. It's like, that's not what I want from McDonald's.
No.
I want McDonald's to not dig too deep into my pocket, and I'll take a mediocre burger and just make the Coke. Don't change the Coke formula. And that'll be fine. And I think it sounds like they're starting to realize that, hey, we outkicked our coverage. We're trying to compete with Applebee's. Don't try to do that. Mm-hmm. Applebee's is amazing. And so, okay. Yeah, Applebee's, like burgers and Ruby Tuesday burgers, mm-hmm. Come on. And so I think that they're going to change this back. Like, there was a consumer in Connecticut that complained. They spent nearly $18 for a Big Mac combo.
Oh.
Themselves. One person in Connecticut. That is out of control. But if you're paying your employees $25 an hour to work, mm-hmm. you know, and you're going to offset that cost somewhere. And I guess McDonald's are franchised, and so they can charge what they want to charge, too. And so that's why you have places like that. They're like, well, it costs us more for labor, so here you go. Mm-hmm. And it's $18 value meals. Yeah, it's insane.
It's just stay in your lane.
I know.
Like, your fast food, so just... Yes. Stay in that lane.
And remember when they took away the Cokes for a dollar, the large Cokes?
Yeah.
I was so sad. And it just flipped one day. I remember one day I was driving, and I'm like, oh, you know what? Well, we'll swing by. We're on a road trip. I'm like, let's get a Coke. It helps me stay awake when I drive. And the lady goes, that's $2.04. And I'm like, well, no. I got the dollar large Coke. She's like, oh, yeah, we don't do that now. Oh. Like, what do you mean we don't do that now? And like, you just stopped? Like, when did you stop? One car ahead of me? Like, yeah. When did this change? And I had to pay twice what I've been paying. And so it's hopefully, though, we avoided a recession, which is good. Because recession would change prices for everything. We avoided that. But hopefully, like, McDonald's can start leading the way and saying we've got to get inflation and pricing back under control. And if they solve that, then they should hire this guy to tackle rent for people. I saw a couple stories on people's rents that were paying $700-$800 for rent before, and it's quadrupled on them. Mm-hmm. How, if you were able to afford a $700 rent, like that was what you could afford, how do you afford something that quadruples your price? You know, and you've noticed this too, Rock, where you're like looking to buy a place. The prices have just gotten so out of pocket that it's hard to afford anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and something has to be done. It's got to come back, but we don't want it to be a recession because that's going to hurt everybody, you know. But it's greed gets you, and everybody being greedy at every step of the chain.
On top of that, you want a tip from us.
Yeah, exactly. Where was I at the other day? Oh, I went to Chipotle. Treated myself to Chipotle dinner last night. Didn't DoorDash it because I don't want to pay that extra money. So I drove to Chipotle and I told the gentleman what I would like, and he scoops it in there. It was about a 30-second thing. Mm-hmm. And then I purposely took cash so I could pay with cash and not have that awkward moment like, oh, the screen's going to ask you a question. You know, because I that's what I to get around it on places where I don't feel I should have to tip. And I don't want to look like a cheapskate. I take cash now.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's the person's job. That's yeah. all they're doing. And I wouldn't say that they go above and beyond to even no. get a tip. So.
No. Like that's
if anybody does and then they don't ask for it, it's the people that are in charge of the dining room at Chick-fil-A. Mm. Those people don't even ask for a tip, and they're coming by and being like, mm-hmm. Can I get you a refill? Can I clear this off the table for you? Like, they're so kind.
But they're charging $10 for a meal now. Oh, it kills
worth
me.
It.
No, it's not worth it. It's not worth it at
worth
all. Are you
it.
Insane? You've lost your mind. Speaking of troublesome, well, I'll do this. No, I'll hold this one for tomorrow. But mooching off of your mom's Hulu account is going to stop too. They have entered this whole thing like Netflix, where they're cracking down on sharing. Mm-hmm. And so if you have a Hulu account, you're done for.
They're all going to start doing that.
It's funny. I was talking to my wife yesterday, and I go, oh shoot, we've been using Haley, our daughter, her Hulu account, because she got it in college. She got a Hulu account. It's like a special college deal. So, oh, wow, that's great. And so I'm like, man, that stinks. We're going to have to get Hulu if we want to get something like that. So, but, you know, good on her. She's just, you know, she's going to have to pay for it, but that's a good thing. And Marty goes, I think we're paying for her Hulu. I'm like, what? She's like, it's attached to her Spotify, and she loves her Spotify. Apparently, I've been paying for Hulu and Spotify for this kid. No idea. I had no idea. I thought she's been paying for it this whole time since college. I'm like, good for you. Good on you. I've been paying for that. So now it's another thing I have to give her. Like, hey, you're off the payroll.
You're proud of her for paying for her own Hulu.
Well, when she was in college, she didn't have any money. And so, like, it's like, good for you. Like, you remember what it's like to be broke and young, you know? And so
yeah,
I thought she took on that.
Yeah.
You know.
You just watch free TV.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Hope for the best.
Yeah, and because I know how much she loves Spotify. And so I'm like, you're going to have to pay for that now too,
so are you
going
to change it?
Yeah, I have to, yeah.
You have to?
Yeah, I have to. Yeah, I have to wean her off of all these things. And so, like, that's Marty's down there this week. I'm like, I have a lot of the tough conversations with her as an adult, so why don't you handle this one? You know, why don't you
that's
take this one?
That's a tough conversation to have.
No, I'm saying this is an easy one. This is a light one.
Oh, okay.
I take
you're
the
letting
bigger
her
things.
Have the
yeah,
easy.
I'm like, here, you take the easy one.
Okay.
You take the, hey, I'm cutting this off. You better get it or else you're going to lose all your music.
Yeah.
Or just Venmo me every month when you Venmo me your car payment. So.
But if you forget sometimes or all the time, it's fine. Don't
with
worry
yours,
about it.
What was it the other day? I love my wife. So Haley makes her car payment to us. Okay. So we bought a car. We gave it to her and she has to pay us back for it. So she so far it's only been like 2 months. And so she's been right on paying it right on time, getting it in there. Super proud of her. Like, so good. But then Haley had a really bad day on that particular day. And so she is Venmoing me for her car payment. And then she had a really bad day. And Marty's like, why don't we Venmo her something for dinner or something like that? I'm like, she just Venmoed me for a car payment. I'm like, no. She can have a bad day. It's okay.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, you said that, but did you stand with it?
Oh, I still sent it. No, I didn't. No, I did not. I did not Venmo her. I'm like, that seems like a mixed message. I don't want to confuse her. Like,
yeah.
Oh, you did your car payment. Now I'm giving you money back. Like, thing. So I'm like, no.
Not every bad day can be met with.
Exactly.
Your parents,
yeah.
You know, helping you. At her age.
Yeah, exactly. And I there are times where I do send her little just treats in the mail. Kind of like Marty will send her happy mail and it's, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. And girls love getting that.
Yes.
And like, I'm not going to do a happy mail thing, but there's times where I'll send her like some Venmo and go, hey, go have dinner tonight or whatever. Or buy that thing you were looking at. Like, just as a nice dad thing, you know? You would love, trust me, you would love to be my kid. I know you give me a hard time, but you would love
be
to be
great.
My kid.
I would use it for all it was worth. I'd
yeah.
be like, but daddy,
I know.
You don't understand.
I know.
I really love my money,
I
just don't want to spell it. I don't want to spend it.
So
spend
you had
money.
A bad day. All right,
I had
Lady
a bad
Rock.
Day, daddy. I was triggered, so can I just not pay my car payment?
Yeah,
thanks,
that isn't happening.
Daddy.
What you got, Rock?
I've got a list of the worst bullies from 80s movies.
Oh, I do like this. Because there was a thing about bullies back then. You have to have a hero and a villain in mm-hmm. most great stories, you know. Mm-hmm. But now with everything like, oh, bullies are bad, which, I mean, they really did serve a purpose for a while, keeping kids in check and not making them snowflakes like now. So, but now we don't have bullies and like kids are snowflakes. I'm just kidding. Don't get upset with me.
I'm making a joke.
I know. Yeah, I know. Somebody's got
triggered. You're calling me a snowflake and that hurts my feelings.
Bullying is serious. It's gotten really messed up. But so a lot of times they'll shy away from bullies or they don't make the bully as bad kind of thing in movies because they don't want to glorify bullying and stuff. Mm-hmm. But back in the day, we had bullies down in movies.
So coming in at number five was Andrew Clark. Do you know what Andrew Clark is from?
No.
He's in The Breakfast Club, 1985.
Oh, it was Emilio Estevez, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was Emilio Estevez. He was a jock that was giving Anthony Michael Hall a hard time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was a good bully. He was a really good bully. But then he has a coming to Jesus moment kind of thing in the end where he realizes he's been bad. So,
1983, Sleepaway Camp.
I don't remember that movie.
Judy.
I don't remember that movie because I would have been like 9th grade or something, 10th grade for that one. I don't remember that one.
She's the worst.
I guess she is.
Then we've got My Bodyguard from 1980. Have you seen that?
Man, how far back are they going? That's crazy.
It's the 80s.
Yeah, I don't even remember that one either.
Moody. The bully's name is Moody, played by Matt Dillon.
Nice.
Moody. Don't call him Melvin. Then we've got Back to the Future, Biff.
Yes, Biff Tannen's the best. He was such a quintessential bully. He's such a quintessential bully. He is actually... He has this song that he's doing online. He's kind of like a comedian, I guess, too. But he does a song about Back to the Future and all the questions that people ask him. And it's so well written. And he does such a great job with it.
He's still alive.
Yeah. Biff is still alive. It's really good. Well, I think he is. Or it's an old video. I think he's still alive.
Because, I mean, he looks old in this picture. And that's from the movie. But maybe they're making him look like he's old.
Oh, that might have been like Back to Future 3. Well, yeah.
Maybe so.
When Marty went back in time and got the almanac. Yeah.
Okay, so then who do you think made it to number one? Who was the worst?
The worst bully of...
Bully of the 80s movies.
Oh, my goodness.
Gavin, you've got a degree in film.
I don't know 80s movies.
I don't know.
Give me the movie?
Yeah, give me the movie.
It was a movie in 1984.
Oh.
Okay.
No, that was in the 70s.
Okay.
Karate Kid was in the 70s.
Oh, no. Karate Kid was 80s. Come on, man.
The guy.
Oh, Johnny. Sweep the leg, Johnny. Sweep the leg.
Johnny Lawrence.
No, it is not.
Oh. Yeah.
Is it really?
I was watching
Karate Kid 2 Cobra Kai.
I was watching Cobra Kai the other day.
Johnny, sweep the leg, Johnny. Yes.
Him the worst?
Okay,
he's so mean.
He was a punk. He beat up Daniel Russo.
The main kid?
Yeah, the main kid, Karate Kid, Ralph Macchio. He was constantly picking at him, fighting him in the streets, which is uncool. He leave it for the dojo, but he did not. And so they would fight in the streets, and he just made his life a living heck. And then, so they get there, and Daniel Russo is hurt, okay? And his coach is a real tough guy. He goes, sweep the leg, Johnny, which means take his good leg out from him. And so he doesn't want to do it.
Bully.
Yeah, this is where he has this moment where he doesn't want to do it. But then he goes for it. He sweeps the leg and then just gets ripped in the face with the crane move from Daniel LaRusso. Mm. And so, yeah, really good stuff. Yeah, he was definitely.
Sounds heart stopping.
Yeah, he was definitely a bully.
Was.
I think there was a song. Cool. I don't know if it ever made it out into the mainstream culture or not. But it was called Sweep the Leg, Johnny. It was a song, and it might have been like a regional band like Shock Lizard or something.
Family Force 5 did a song called Sweep the Leg.
Did they really too? Cool.
And it was great.
That's what the reference is.
Yeah, that's what I assumed it was, because I've heard people say it. I've never seen Karate Kid, and I don't care to see it.
What? No.
That sounds boring.
Oh, you would love it. I forget on the first Karate Kid, the blonde lady that went on to do like Adventures in Babysitting, Elizabeth Elizabeth Shue. I think she was in it.
Other bullies that made the list were Scott Farkas. Remember him?
Mm-mm. Scott.
He had yellow eyes.
I don't remember that one.
1983's Christmas Story.
Oh, I know. I don't like Christmas Story.
Oh, I love it. Another one that made the list was Steph in Pretty in Pink.
I don't know that.
Yeah, still, girl bullies don't scare me.
Yeah, that wasn't same. A girl. That was a guy.
That was a guy. Steph in Pretty in Pink.
I mean, the picture is a guy. Yeah. Huh.
Are you sure?
Yeah, look at him. I think it's that guy that played the weird boss in The Office.
Oh, older. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Let's see. Chet in Weird Science.
Oh, yes. Chet was great. That was played by a big actor. Now he went on to be a big actor.
Bill Paxton.
Bill Paxton. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was like in the tornado movie and stuff with Helen Hunt.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's dead now, isn't he?
Is he? I don't know.
I think he died.
Yeah, maybe. Sure. he was a great bully. For sure, he was a great bully.
And then Stan Gable in Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, yeah, I never saw it. I don't even.
1984.
I saw that movie, but I don't remember it.
Mick in Teen Wolf, 1985.
Teen Wolf was Michael J. Fox, but I never saw that because I don't like werewolf movies.
And then Ace Merrill in Stand By Me,
1986. Stand By Me is one that everybody talks about. I've never seen it. I've never seen Stand By Me. Is that Macaulay Culkin?
No.
No, what's that
it
one?
It has River Phoenix
My Girl.
In
okay.
It.
Yeah, I've never seen Stand By Me, and I've never seen Sandlot.
Stand By Me has River Phoenix in it.
Yes. He's dead, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But didn't it was he die written outside by the Viper Room?
Yes.
Okay.
But it was written by Stephen King, which is so odd because
really?
It's not like a scary movie like all his other ones. It's actually just about friendship, but I liked it.
That's the one. Like, I guess he's done really well for himself, but you're like, okay, is that the one where you made some money, you know? Do something you don't want to do, but it's a good moneymaker for you.
No,
kind of thing.
He's done other things like that where it doesn't really fit the profile, but
yeah,
he still did it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Do you got any birthdays?
I do.
Yeah.
I have one. Amy, Neil, Abigail, and Noah. They all want to wish Caleb a happy 17th birthday.
Yay, Caleb!
Happy birthday! Said we love you and are so proud of you.
That's a lot of people that love on you. That's good.
They want to know if you could trade places with your parents for one day, what would you do differently?
Oh.
Not have my sister. No.
That's funny.
What would I do differently?
I think I
you mean as a parent to you?
Yeah, I think I would let little me snack.
Oh,
I wasn't allowed to snack.
Yeah.
My parents didn't want me to ruin my supper, and so I didn't snack. But I would let me snack.
I would say my parents are really great about letting us choose. Like my parents never pushed us into like sports or things like that. They were very like if you started a season, you had to finish it. You know, like, and I respect that. But they never stayed on us where it's like, okay, if you're not enjoying it, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they had pushed me to stay into tennis, like, because I was playing and I was pretty good at it, and I wish they had pushed me to stay into that, because that one decision led me to, like, to stop that led me down different paths, and it would have been interesting to see where that had played out. But I was young and was like, I don't want to do this anymore, and I probably should have.
You wanted to be a rebel.
I did.
See how that worked out
for
you.
It did not work out at all.
Is there such a thing as a tennis rebel player?
Yeah, probably there was. Not. Andre Agassi was one of them. He even had the rebel camera that he promoted. John McEnroe, Ilina Stassi.
Ooh.
Yeah, all of these guys were like the bad guys of tennis.
The bad guys.
That's what I wanted to be, the bad boy of tennis. All right, Gavin, what about you?
I guess I theoretically would have been okay with my parents like making me get a job in high school when I was old enough. They didn't force me or my siblings to work.
That's
it was
nice.
More go, you know, get your good grades. For me, it's like enjoy soccer. For my brother and sister, you know, really do really well at marching band and then come home and do your homework. So there wasn't a pushing. They didn't push us to work at a younger age. And I still see a lot of value in having not had a job at that point. But if I could change anything, maybe I'd do that.
Yeah.
Go work at, you know, Chick-fil-A for
It was
weekends.
Weird. Yeah, it was weird pushing my daughter into working because, like you, I wanted her to get good grades because that's how she was going to pay for college more so than
the job.
Like getting good SAT scores was what was going to cut her tuition in half, not all the money she could save working at Chick-fil-A, the $5, you know, like she would have had. So, but it was good life experience. So I remember pushing her to go get a job and taking her to Chick-fil-A and going, okay, go in and ask for an interview or a application. And she was so nervous, like, come in with me, you know, and we're like, no, you got to do it yourself. And she went in, did an interview, got the job, worked hard, was one of the best employees they had, and it was really good for her to have learned that early on.
I also think, though, when I think back to when I would have been working for $8.50 an hour.
Right.
And nowadays, kids can go to Chick-fil-A and make, $15 an hour. And I know the world is expensive right now.
Yeah.
But still, I would be, I mean, if I had to get a second job, I wouldn't even bat an eye at working at Chick-fil-A.
Right.
Because they can make good money there.
Yeah.
And just hand
and
people chicken.
And it's better than like spending money that you used to get when you were younger too, man. You actually go buy stuff at this rate. Yeah, kids complaining about not having money. Like, no way, man. You can go get paid a grip of cash to go and do the job that you would have had to do a couple years ago and not and paid been paid half of it. So, all right, Lady Rock, I think that is going to do it for us today. Mm-hmm. I saw you staring at me. I didn't know if you had something else or you want to wrap it up. So that's going to do it for our aftercast. And as always, thanks for being a potty. So we got our friend Andy Irwin on the show with us, and he's the guy behind the movie I Can Only Imagine. And now he has a new movie out called Ordinary Angels starring Hilary Swank. And she is great, by the way. And her passion for this film really comes through in her character, who's like this broken mess. But God still uses her to accomplish a miracle in the life of a desperate single father whose daughter is in need of a liver transplant. True story, by the way. Now, the one thing I love about you, Andy, is that your movies are not preachy. I would put this somewhere like you got Blindside at one end and you've got War Room at the other. You guys are ahead of Blindside on the faith, but way under War Room, you know? But it's done in a way that's like accessible and not off-putting, and it's not heavy-handed.
I think it preaches as good as any of the films that we've done.
Because I know your heart is not to water down the gospel.
No. Our heart is to be strategic. This one was really about trying to understand this everyman kind of blue-collar guy that had a relationship with God but was just burnt out.
Yep.
And he felt like he had lost faith in the church and lost faith in God really seeing him and being there for him. So it's kind of that skeptic that's outside the church walls that we want to reach.
Well, you do a great job of that, and it reached into my chest and punched me in the heart in the first 3 minutes. It's a great movie, and it will be in theaters February 23rd, and you can actually get tickets now at ordinaryangels.movie.
Growing up in poverty has never been easy for children, but with the added challenges of the pandemic, conflict, and natural disasters, families around the world are facing an unprecedented food crisis. Unfortunately, those who are already hungry are now even more desperate. But by sponsoring a child through Compassion, you can help provide life-sustaining essentials such as food and clean water. And with your compassionate support, that child can not only survive, but also flourish. You can find out how and choose a child to sponsor when you click on the Compassion banner at wayfm.com.